Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryans!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, broadcasting live to you across the civic media airwaves here in the state of Wisconsin from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, The Shaw in Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, and so many more civic media radio stations around the state. Head over to civicmedia.us to see the entire coverage pattern and learn more about what we're up to here at Civic Media. Got Evan on the board. E, how are we doing on this Thursday afternoon?
Oh, buddy. No, it's going great, man. It's a nice day, you know. The world isn't ending. We don't have a meteor imminently ready to...
Not today.
...to impact. Not today. And even when we do, they just burn up in the atmosphere. We're all right.
Yeah.
Nothing to worry about.
Okay, that's an interesting approach to take. It's a regular Thursday is what you're saying. No meteors. So, folks, if you want to share a tangent here on Dueling Tangents all hour long, those phone lines are open. 844-967-2789. Going to be joined by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, coming up at 2:30. But between now and then, it is full swing. The budget season is getting into full swing here in Wisconsin, and there are numerous proposals around the state from Republican lawmakers, from the Democratic governor, Tony Evers, and we're going to dive into some of these. But again, if you want to share a tangent, let us know what you're thinking on this Thursday afternoon. 844-967-2789. One of the most surprising proposals so far, and not coming from lawmakers, but instead the president of the UW system floating a 5% increase to in-state tuition for the UW system next year. Now, over the last decade, tuition had been frozen since 2013 by then Republican Governor Scott Walker, and the Republican-led legislature froze in-state tuition, continued that freeze for 10 years until last year, excuse me, 2 years ago now, 2021, I believe, when the lawmakers, the state lawmakers, gave back the authority to the Board of Regents to determine whether or not tuition increases will be necessary. And so for a while now, in-state students have had their tuition frozen. But as soon as next year, there could be a 5% increase for in-state tuition. This is pretty interesting, seeing that we have a $7 billion surplus. I find it fascinating that the Republican-led legislature and the Democratic governor can't find the ability to address this funding gap without increasing tuition for in-state students. But this is a piece written up by Kelly Meyerhoff over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. University of Wisconsin system plans to raise in-state tuition by 5% next school year. The University of Wisconsin system wants to increase tuition for in-state undergraduates by about 5% next school year, UW system president Jay Rothman said Thursday. Rothman said he will ask the UW Board of Regents to approve the rate increase at a board meeting later this month. If approved, it would be the first increase in a decade for resident students. But even with a 5% tuition increase, Rothman said the UW system would remain the most affordable higher education option in the upper Midwest. Evan, are you a little surprised that these costs, now that the freeze is thawed? Now that freeze is gone, are you surprised that this 5% increase is going to be handed over to the students instead of just the state being able to increase the state funding?
I'm a pragmatist, Luke. And so, yes, I'm quite surprised.
What does being a pragmatist have to do with being surprised?
I expect a realistic outcome, right? And in Wisconsin, in this day and age, the realistic outcome, students aren't in the conversation, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean,
so I'm surprised.
It's interesting to see that this is in the midst of the budget surplus that we have right now.
This number keeps on growing. It's a big number.
It's a big number, more than $7 billion in state surplus now. That number is going to be tossed around a lot, folks, over the next couple weeks and months as this budget gets negotiated and worked on. It is going to be pointed out that we have $7 billion in surplus to invest in the state in the upcoming biennial budget. And Republicans really are downplaying that surplus. A lot of Republican lawmakers in recent weeks, as these budget negotiations began, want to act like it is, oh, we're just not going to talk about the $7 billion surplus. We can't be throwing around that money like anything. And nobody's suggesting that we throw it around willy-nilly unless you really just want to blow the whole thing on a tax cut, because that's what a flat tax would do. The $7 billion surplus would disappear in a tax cut. It would be wiped out by a flat tax. And so if you want to actually talk about using these funds appropriately, we have to have smart plans and proposals to go into what the state could do in the biennial budget to address problems the state has. Another interesting proposal, I'm not completely shocked, Evan, by the way. I'm not shocked that the UW system president, who did not serve in higher education before this, was an attorney in the Milwaukee area and chosen to be the president of the UW system after former Governor Tommy Thompson wanted to step down from the interim system president role that he served at throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. They chose a attorney.
Maybe he's the pragmatist.
And somebody on the business side of things rather than somebody with an experience in higher education to run it. So I'm not all that shocked that almost as soon as it's able to, the UW system raising tuition prices on in-state students. I'm not shocked by that. A 5% increase is a pretty modest increase. But again, I think that that's a funding gap that the state could further invest in the system.
Which is sort of what I mean, right? $7 billion, folks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
it's a lot of money.
I am surprised. Just in this day and age, it seems like at this time more than in any other, it's sort of an easy win. It's a W, right?
But the UW system president proposing a 5% increase, and the Board of Regents will vote on it later this month.
Sure.
But something that seems to be a proposal that just keeps coming back because it's been talked about in budget cycles past and again now. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, he wants to find creative ways to fund projects here in Wisconsin. And his creative way is dusting off the old proposal that he's had several times now. But again, over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Robin Voss saying that he is going to push for toll roads in Wisconsin to raise money for transportation infrastructure. Evan, do you want to drive on a toll road
Wisconsin? We can go to Illinois. We can head just a few miles south if we want to pay some tolls.
The conservative party here in Wisconsin, the party of limited government,
because we can't afford it. We
wants
have
a
no
toll
money.
Roll.
Yep. So we need tolls.
Well, this is a fascinating one too. And Robin Voss talks about, well, we should have done this a decade ago. We should have done this in 2013. We would have so much money to address transportation here in Wisconsin if we only had followed this proposal 10 years ago when Robin Voss was in charge and Scott Fitzgerald were in charge and Scott Walker was in charge. So it was weird that Robin Voss is criticizing a proposal not making it out of the legislature and signed by the governor a decade ago when Republicans had absolute control of the state. But his proposal wouldn't even bring immediate funding for these transportation needs. The more creative proposal to address transportation funding here in Wisconsin comes from, in the piece, Britt Cutaback, spokeswoman for Governor Tony Evers, said that the governor's proposal would have revenue that would come from, or excuse me, said that revenue that would come from the tolling wouldn't materialize for years. She said Evers has proposed new revenue for roads in the current budget that would be accessible immediately, with Evers' proposal taking portions of revenue from the state sales tax on electric vehicles and on sale of auto parts, tires, and repair services towards infrastructure improvements. So, again, Republicans not coming up with any new innovative ideas to address the transportation funding that we have here in Wisconsin for this upcoming biennial budget.
But, you know, Mr. Norquist said that his goal is to make the government small enough that we can drown it in the bathtub, which is that's a grim picture. I'm starting to think that we are what he's trying to drown in the bathtub, right?
23% of all the funding spent to create the toll roads would just go to maintaining the tolls themselves.
It's like insanity.
It is foolish to think that that is a small government solution, that it is a conservative solution, that
they're
it's
just trying to build
things.
The bathtub. They're trying to build the bathtub, a place to
for, no, they're to just trying in. To be lazy coming up there. He's not coming up with a new idea. This is an idea that Robin Voss has sought for years, and it has never garnered support, even when Republicans had absolute control. If it was popular and Republican voters and Republican elected officials, when they had complete control of the state of Wisconsin, didn't pass it then, why is this something you are dusting off now? It's just a bad, lazy idea to recycle it, and it's not going to make it anywhere.
And I just see it as worse than lazy, I suppose.
Robin,
the sort of omission of action, right? The refusal to do anything is harmful.
That's
to
what
the,
it gets
the state
into.
Of Wisconsin.
That's what it gets into, because at the end of the day, Robin Voss doesn't want to be able to provide solutions. He just wants to make it seem like he's providing solutions. And then cut taxes for the wealthiest among us, because that is his only end goal. It's not really a solution. It's hampering the state of Wisconsin. We're going to talk more about some of these budget proposals, including what the Infrastructure Reduction Act, or excuse me, the Inflation Reduction Act, mixing up my eyes, from last year will mean for the state of Wisconsin, and why we should be following more proposals like that, because it's going to bring jobs here to Wisconsin. So we'll talk about our new report surrounding that, some more of these budget proposals, and Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, joining at 2:30. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You can give me a call, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents will be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to this program across Civic Media. If you want to learn more, head over to the website at, civicmedia.us. You can follow the station and the network on Twitter at civicmedia.us. You can follow the show at Dueling Tangents there as well. And you can share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. Got Evan on the board, you on the phone lines, and we're discussing some of the proposals that are floating around as the state gets into full swing of budget season here in Wisconsin. Before we head over to the next proposal, let's head over to those phone lines. We got Joe in Madison calling in. Joe, what's on your mind this Thursday afternoon?
Well, nothing's more interesting than budget time and all the machinations that will be part of in the next month coming up. It'll be quite the soap opera. I wanted to draw attention to, and perhaps you've done it in shows and I just missed it, but apparently within Governor Evers' budget, he has proposed a slapdown of the legislation that the Republicans put through, which allowed one anonymous legislator on joint finance to stand and say, no, I refuse to say yes, and that would curtail any purchases under the Knowles Stewardship Fund toward a particular project. And there's been at least 12 projects that have run into this situation where one anonymous legislator, we assume Republican, but we don't know that for sure because it's anonymous, had said, no, we don't want this project to go forward. And it's purchases of acreage in, you know, just tens of thousands, incredible value to our state in terms of, you know, wildlife and tourism and jobs and all that. So as I understand it, Governor Evers has a proposal in his budget to say, no one anonymous legislator anymore. If you're going to object, you have to say who you are and what your reasons are for objecting to this purchase, which, geez, it seems like the most normal of things. It seems like democracy that you stand up and say why you object and give your reasons. So I'd really love it if you guys could keep an eyeball on this. I'll try to track it, too, and see if this can make it through. Because, boy, this is really important stuff. It's very valuable to the North in terms, and all of us, in terms of what our state is going to look like. We don't want one person coming in from out of state and buying what are referred to as kingdom lots, where they get the best of what's out there in terms of our landscape and drop down a whole lot of dollars. And in this case, nobody gets to track where they are. So thanks for all you're doing with this, following the budget. But I really hope that you guys can keep an eyeball on that particular provision, too. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely, Joe. And we have talked about that one in past shows. So we have discussed the fact that there can be an anonymous objection by individual lawmakers and the Evers proposal to remove that provision from the current law. It will be interesting to see if the Republican-led legislature will do away with that, because it's anti-democratic, but like little d-democratic. It's anti-good governance when an anonymous member of that committee can just hold up the state purchasing the preservation of land. And so, yeah, it is absolutely something that should be passed in this upcoming biennial budget. It is going to stand to question whether or not Republicans will get behind that common sense proposal, because, and I don't know for sure, because the whole way that the process is, it's anonymous. But I'm skeptical to believe that the party of working to protect the environment here in Wisconsin, that one of their members may be the ones using these anonymous holds. I'm not saying for certain. I have no idea, because it is an anonymous process. But I have a feeling more likely than not, it would be a Republican member on that committee that would be holding up those votes. But If that's not the case, and those Republicans are more than willing to say no, we'll change it and make it that the lawmaker has to put their name to and why they're objecting to their objection, it would absolutely make sense. It would be a common sense practice. But we appreciate your phone call, Joe. You can be like Joe. 844-967-2789. Share your tangent here on this Thursday afternoon with Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, and one of the other provisions, kind of in that same vein, being a good steward of taxpayer funds and taxpayer land. In Governor Tony Evers' proposals, he's looking to sell off large office buildings in Madison and in downtown Milwaukee. So downtown Madison, downtown Milwaukee, to better reflect the current workforce needs of state government employees. And to me, this is kind of, again, it makes sense. If the state is going to have a more hybrid model for state employees, why not sell off the buildings and the land in these areas and earn the profit from the sale and adjust to meet the current workforce needs? If we have a bunch of unfilled office buildings from employees, state employees, that are working hybrid from partly at home and partly in the office, we should downsize the footprint of the state office. It's a good steward of taxpayer funds, and it makes sense because it can bring in more revenue for the state as well by selling off these parcels of land. So, again, a no-brainer. It will be interesting to see where this proposal goes. But here in Madison, the top buildings looking to be potentially sold off, this, reading from a piece by Mitchell Schmidt over at the State Journal, the state would sell the historic state office building and two other large downtown office buildings under a plan unveiled Wednesday by Governor Tony Evers' administration to reduce the state government's Madison footprint by more than a quarter. The Department of Administration updated Vision 30 strategic plan proposes consolidating several Madison-based state agencies and offices and selling the properties, which account for more than 813,000 square feet of state-owned space. Doing so would save the state roughly $446 million in deferred maintenance costs that would otherwise be needed to update the aging buildings, according to the plan Vision 2030. So it'll be interesting to see where this plan goes, because it will now be heard by the Republican committees in the state legislature. So something to keep an eye on there as well. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. Join me on this Thursday afternoon. Share your tangent, 844-967-2789. Going to be joined by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, coming up in this next segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media here from the Solidarity Realty Studios, but around the state. Locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. News from the center in Richland Center, the hometown for our guest now here, Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, joining me in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Todd, how are we doing this Thursday afternoon?
Very fine. Thank you so very much for asking, Luke. It's a good day. It's Thursday, so that means one more day. It'll be Friday. So, always great to join you, join Evan on the board. Always an honor and a pleasure. I went home for an extended lunch because I'm going to be here later tonight working on some stuff. And I pull in over on Rimrock Road, as the British might say, the dodgy part of town. And I pull off on Rimrock Road, and I got three Fitchburg cop cars pulled over this red car. About what's going on there? And I'm eating, and all of a sudden it's like chips broke out. That'll date me. It's like a cop show has broken out. There's multiple units, marked and unmarked, chasing a black car around my neighborhood. I'm in the middle of crime, you understand? So it's been quite an eventful afternoon for Toddy, who never did actually eat his lunch. So anyway, that's how my day's going.
We got to get you a lunch then when we wrap this later up. We'll get you. We'll get you something.
Food is overrated.
See, that's what you told me the other morning when you went an entire 3-hour show without caffeine.
I can go without food, without coffee.
You're in rougher shape.
My family knows not to talk to Todd before he has his first cup of coffee in the morning.
And you did 3 full hours before getting your cup of coffee the other morning.
It's incredible that I didn't bring an FCC violation.
Yeah, it is good. That's a good thing. Very incredible, but also very good. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with Todd and I, 844-967-2789. Let's head over to those phone lines, talking about some of the budget proposals floating around the state of Wisconsin now that the budget season is ramping up. We got Jack in Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind this Thursday afternoon?
Well, it seems that I can't remember which one, Voss or Lemahue, one of the two of them basically said that Eber's budget is DOA. They're not even going to consider it. They're probably going to do what they did a couple of years ago, which is start from scratch on their own budget. And my opinion, Evers needs to get a little bit more serious about defending his proposal. He needs to say stuff like, okay, you guys want over $250 million for renovation of, stadium, I think it is. You guys want all this money for private and parochial and for-profit schools, that's fine. Let's talk, because if you aren't going to talk with me, you're just going to do your own thing. I'm going to line item veto those proposals as a start, and then I'll look at the rest of your budget and see what needs to be dumped. I mean, these guys are just out of sight. They have no consequences because they're so gerrymandered into place. Which is, by the way, another reason why we've got to vote on April 4th and get a reasonable justice in our Supreme Court. End of my rant for the day.
Appreciate that, Jack. It's a tangent here on Dueling Tangents, and they're more than welcome. I think it will be interesting. I think the tone of the budget negotiations are going to teeter on the results of that April 4th election, Todd. I don't know about you.
First of all, I want to say, brilliant caller, Jack in Merrimack. I'm not sure if that's his real name or if he actually lives in Merrimack. I don't care. Every caller on every show should rhyme their name in the community. That's fantastic. Jack in Merrimack. That's number one. Number two, yeah, absolutely. We'll see what happens on April 4th. I think that the Republicans, by and large, were hoping that they would just kind of get rid of Evers after the first term, and now that he got reelected a second time, I think there is a little bit of a acceptance, if you will, that, okay, we're going to have to do something to work with this guy to a certain degree. Otherwise, nothing truly will get done. I will agree with Jack in Merrimack to the degree that I think the Democrats, in particular Governor Evers, not so much him, a criticism of his team. I think they've done a poor job of going around the state and telling people what Governor Evers has done and then building community support for what they want to do. And I would like to see them be a little bit more proactive and out there. And I agree with the caller to I don't want to say push, but to build community support. Because I think that's the way that you get to the Republicans. They have more votes than you, number one. All you can do is veto. Either line item veto or veto the whole darn thing. And so I think the way to put pressure on them to make a budget that's more palatable for progressives is to build that community support throughout Wisconsin.
And his budget looks the way that it does, Todd, because a lot of those listening sessions that he does around the state, though. So since being reelected last November, he went and he was holding community listening sessions in Green Bay and around the state to the point where that it was that input that he used for this proposal. I think it will be interesting to see if the entire thing gets tossed out the door. Or if it's going to be worked with this Republican legislature now.
Let me be clear. I think the Governor Evers has done a great job as governor. I voted for him first time. I voted for him the second time. I think he's a great guy. I just don't understand his team around him. The example I gave on election night, actually, and I've said this before, I was around when Tommy George Thompson was governor for four terms or three and three quarters terms. you know, and whether you agreed with Tommy Thompson, a Republican or not, here's what he did. He had his then Secretary of Department of Commerce, Bill McCoshin at the time. He would go around, and sometimes Tommy would be with him, sometimes he wouldn't. They'd have these oversized checks that they would, you know, give to communities of state, sometimes federal money through the state. It was cheerleading. It was absolutely
a little gimmicky.
100% gimmicky. But you know what? He got elected four times.
That's true.
And Tony Evers has done a great job with these bounce back grants, with giving money to local communities, with putting money into roadways. I just don't understand when he goes around and has a listening session. Look, there is no room to be quiet about it. A quick story, if I may.
Yeah.
This is
dueling tangents, Todd. This is literally an hour just parsed together of quick stories.
So you're too young to remember, but I was old enough back in 1992.
Okay.
George H.W. Bush was president, and there was a Democratic primary, and of course there was a guy named Bill Clinton, a little governor from Arkansas, from a small state in Arkansas, and then you had Paul Tsongas. A very respected Democrat, a progressive, we call him a liberal progressive today, United States Senator, who everybody thought was going to be great, who'd be a great president of the United States. But what about this guy, Clinton? And there was a great story that's told when they were both on Good Morning America, and Paul Tsongas came in, and he had like one person, like a driver with him, and there was like a plate in the green room of donuts. And he asked the page, he said, is it okay if I take one of those? And the page said, sure, Senator, go ahead. Then Bill Clinton comes in. He has an entourage around him. He walks in. He grabs one of those donuts, says, morning, y'all, how you doing? And just, I mean, it's the difference, right? I mean, sometimes it's gimmicky. Sometimes it's personality. But that stuff sells. And I wish that Governor Evers' team would be a little bit more gimmicky and promote the success that Governor Evers has had around the state.
I have a feeling it would be helpful, but I just don't think that it's him. I just don't think that's his personality.
That's fine. It doesn't have to be, but then have one of his secretaries do it. Mm-hmm.
Will that only get you so far, though? Because it feels like, yes, there may be a more warm reception for some bipartisanship here in Wisconsin now that Evers won a second term, but all of that indication comes from rank-and-file Republican elected officials, in my opinion. I don't see that from Voss and I was going to say Fitzgerald, but it's not Fitzgerald anymore. Voss and LeMahieu. Yeah. I'm not seeing it from them. They're essentially, as Jack from Merrimack pointed out, saying, oh, this budget is dead on arrival. This budget is made up of phony math, even though they want to float a flat tax saying that that's good for us.
They're saying that for the base, though. I mean, you and I both know that. They're saying that for the base. Whether they believe it or not, they're saying it for the base. And they don't. I mean, the thing that you know, on the State of the State, I think it was, night of the address, what got me was there was money in Evers' budget for mental health for kids. Mental health for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't, Republicans can't even get behind that. I mean, how sad is that? I mean, what room is there for growth if you can't even get behind mental health for kids?
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what common ground is found this budget cycle. And it's going to be something, we've got 4.5 weeks until the state Supreme Court race, the statewide spring general election on April 4th. And I have a feeling there will be some changes of tone depending on who wins that statewide Supreme Court race. And so maybe there will be an even further thawing of relations for bipartisan support here, getting some compromise here in the state of Wisconsin. But I have a feeling if Republicans are like, oh, no, we can bank on a Supreme Court that's more in our favor, maybe we can play a little bit more hardball and we're just going to put forward what we want to put forward and line item or entire vetoes be damned. We're going to do what we want to do. And so I think the tone of this entire budget session is going to be determined on April 4th. And we're going to find out then.
It'll go a long way, that's for sure. Then you got Markline, Howard Markline, co-chair of Joint Finance, saying, oh, let's just put all the $7 billion surplus into the bank. I'm really, that's what he's saying, basically. Let's put it all into a rainy day fund.
Let's save it for 4 years from now, and we want to try our chances one more time. 100%. To try to see. Yeah,
that's how crazy they are.
That's what it feels like. It felt like, I mean, we knew that's what their gamble was last year. When these budget surplus projections started coming out throughout 2022, and the closer we got to last November's election, it really did feel like it was just like, oh, how much? Oh, okay. We're going to have that much to play with on a surplus? Okay, we're going to bet that we can win. We're going to get a Republican ally in the governor's mansion, and we're going to pass a huge tax cut or move the state to a flat tax. Yeah. And that didn't happen. And if they truly try to pull the football like that, I have a feeling Wisconsin voters are going to be pretty upset.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting to see. One of the other headlines, Todd, coming across the wires earlier today, talking about a culture war that some individuals are trying to wage here in Wisconsin. I don't think it is not the problem that everybody wants to make it out on the right, but transgender children in our schools have been a political punching bag now of individuals and the conservative side of politics, specifically the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. They've been going and in Keele, Wisconsin last year, drummed up this lawsuit that surrounded a Title IX investigation into children not using the proper pronouns for another student in Keele. And it got so much national attention, there were bomb threats. It immobilized the entire town for the Memorial Day weekend last year. And again, they were bringing a lawsuit against the Eau Claire School Board. And Todd, it's been tossed out because the lawsuit is arguing hypotheticals, and they lack zero standing for this case. And this case, this story first reported over at Wisconsin Public Radio earlier today, Todd. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. But this is the federal magistrate judge Stephen Crocker of the Western District of Wisconsin didn't rule on the merits of the argument brought by the parent group, but noted that, quote, the guidance does not instruct staff to keep the information secret, which is what Will was arguing. And it makes clear that the students' names will not be changed in the district system without parent guardian permission. Instead, Crocker ruled that the group of parents lacked standing because the plaintiffs did not allege any of its members' children are transgender or gender nonconforming, that the district has applied the policy towards members' children, or that any parent has been denied information related to their child's identity. Is this what we're going to see a lot more of, though? The continuation of these lawsuits of making up hypotheticals that nobody actually has, and they just want to drum up their support against school boards looking to have inclusive policies at the local level, Todd?
I think, sadly, yes, we're going to see more of that. And this is just an extension of the 2016 campaign. And this is when I had a coffee shop here in Madison as a former Republican at the time and still a former Republican. You know, had people come into, you know, both actually progressives and Republicans talking about this election. I said, if Trump gets elected, it's not just him. It's the fact that you have the president of the United States. I've had a lot of interaction with people from other countries, Europeans in particular, and they don't understand our infatuation with the presidency. But what they don't understand is we don't have a history of monarchies here. We don't have a symbolic king or queen or whatever in our country. So the president, for better or worse, is the head of the of the country. So people look up to that person. And Donald Trump set this agenda of hate against people, and that is now playing out in our communities.
Yeah, and we're seeing it in these lawsuits waged against local school boards, specifically in Eau Claire, but this one being tossed by a federal judge. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined this half hour by Todd Alba, host of The Todd Alba Show. We'll get to the more phone lines and headlines when we get back. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined now in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Todd Alba, host of The Todd Alba Show, that airs across select civic media stations.
And hopefully one of your talents has been selected.
Hopefully. If not, you can check out the podcast. Go to the Civic Media's website. You can see all the podcasts there for all the terrific shows we put out as a network. But on WRCE News in the Center, WXCO Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau, and Lake Air in Amory, WLAK, Todd Alba, 8 to 11 a.m. every morning. And Monday through Friday.
We're here. We're turning the lights on for you. We get you up and going. Got a cup of coffee. We're set to go.
There you go. And really appreciate you joining me here on this Thursday afternoon to toss around a few tangents.
It's a pleasure.
You invoked the former guy's name. So we're going to jump to him in just a second here. But kind of put a bookend on the previous tangent. These lawsuits that they're tossed when they come before a federal judge. Saying, no, you're just arguing hypotheticals here. There's nobody harmed. There's no standing for you in this lawsuit. But Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty will drums up the outrage and the hate that they want to drum up. They use it as a rage machine. And I can't help but not talk about this headline also over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, because this is a crisis that Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin is facing now, that three black transgender women have been killed in Milwaukee in the last 9 months. And to act like the anti-trans, the transphobia, these anti-trans lawsuits and this hate that is drummed up by organizations like Will and stories like this are not connected is just cognitive dissonance then. Because it is directly the fears that are drummed up by lawsuits like this one in Eau Claire that was tossed. And what is going on to the trans community right now here in Wisconsin and around the nation is disturbing. And if we're not talking about it, we are complicit in just acting like it's just business as usual. And so when you see stories like this, you have to call them out. You have to talk about them, and you have to be with the individuals in your lives having these conversations, because they're not going away. This is going to be something that the conservative groups around the state and country are going to continue to bring lawsuits like this one in Eau Claire. Luke Berg, the attorney over at Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, already doubling down, saying, oh, well, we're going to appeal this decision. We don't care that this judge says that we don't have standing. We're going to appeal it. And so it will continue to be a problem and something that needs to be discussed.
You hit it on the head while we're in a break. You said, people fear what they don't understand. And my former boss, Dale Schultz, when he left the state Senate, in his final speech on the floor, he used that exact line. And what he pointed out was that when he was Senate Majority Leader, they passed the so-called Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, in 2005 or six. And 2011, he came out with a public statement apologizing for that and saying that he had changed his position. And then supported, at the time, it still does support marriage equality. And that's something that has growth, right? And I think it's a matter of knowing people. Even though I happen to be gay, I don't know a lot of people in the trans community until I had a coffee shop after my political career in Madison. And we had quite a few trans folks come in our shop, and it was lovely to get to meet them. And again, the more you know someone, you have a cup of coffee or just knowing someone, you find out that we're so much more alike than we are different, right? And it doesn't matter what community or orientation or ethnicity we come from, But you're right, Luke. It is a fear, unfortunately, perpetuated by right-wing Christian nationalism to a large degree and fundamentalism, but a fear of what you don't understand. And the victims are folks like you just said. I wonder if those people in Milwaukee allegedly perpetrating these crimes against black transgender folks, I wonder if they know that Dwayne Wade, a former star and basketball team, that went on to play for the Miami Heat, he has a child who's transgender and has been very vocal about supporting this and helping explain this and bring understanding to the community. And if more people would just look around and find out that we're all more alike, I think that would go a long way to stop this hate, not just on trans folks. There's a story in Michigan today, more hate being spewed against Jewish folks, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah, the rise in hate that we are seeing, I think it comes from a lot of the political silos. And and if you're not open to having these conversations and talking about these things, that hate just, it builds, and it builds on itself, and it builds. And it needs, we need to have these conversations because, everybody is just trying to go about their lives and live their lives. And the trans community should not be subject to this kind of violence and this kind of rhetoric and these lawsuits trying to demean them and prevent them from being recognized for who they are. And so it's disturbing that the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is just going to continue ramping up these attacks. But here on Dueling Tangents and across the state, we're going to keep having these conversations. We're going to be talking about them. One of the other final headlines to talk about today before the end of this show. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined this half hour by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. There's a little change in tone because it also has to do with lawsuits, Todd, but a slightly different nature of this one. The Department of Justice is saying, they're coming out with a ruling today that the former president, you invoked him in the last segment, but the former president can be sued by Capitol Police officers and Democratic lawmakers over the January 6, 2021 insurrection. This a piece over at the Wisconsin State Journal, written up by Eric Tucker and Alana Durkin Riker, originally posted at the Associated Press, though. I'm finding it at the State Journal. The department wrote that although a president enjoys broad legal latitude to communicate to the public on matters of concern, quote, no part of a president's official responsibilities includes the incitement of imminent private violence. By definition, such conduct plainly falls outside the presidential's constitutional and statutory duties. So
you can run, but you can't hide, Trumpster. They're coming after you. I mean, and God love them, the Capitol Police officers that went through so much, and other lawmakers. You watch and see. They're going to use the January 6th, a lot of the January 6th committee, the bipartisan committee. They'll use a lot of that in the civil lawsuit.
Yeah, I have a feeling that there will be, if not one collective lawsuit, at least a couple lawsuits then coming out of this one, because it's been an avenue that some of those officers and some of those lawmakers have tried, and now the Department of Justice ruling that the president can be sued, the former president.
The former president, and hopefully he stays the former president.
I think he'll remain the former president, but that's another day.
Down another road.
Folks, if you missed any portion of this show, go check out the podcast for Dueling Tangents at civicmedia.us. That's our website. Click on the show page. Go down to Dueling Tangents. You can also check out on that same show page, the Todd Alba Show. Thank you so much, Todd,
for joining me
this Thursday afternoon.
Thank you, Evan.
Afternoon.
Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, thank you, Evan. Thank you, all of our callers. Jack and Merrimack. See, I think...
Jack and Merrimack.
Jack and Merrimack.
I love that.
It's a great name. Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to you all then.